presence is here. You sit right among us, God. And we know, Lord, that you look after us when we need consolement. You provide that. Lord, when we need peace, you give that. And so, Father, we thank you that you are here. You're present among us. And we, your people, Lord, come, and we come to you now through this time on our knees, Lord. On our knees, in a sense, God, as we just cry out to you, Lord, Savior. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we pray your protection upon us. Because, Lord, we are your people, and we know that you have said that you will protect us no matter where we go or what we do. You look after us. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you, God, for that. Lord, we rejoice today that Robert Ranger and Gene Cook and Caleb and many others could have a birthday today. And Lord, we thank you that we could celebrate as the family of God and we could praise your name as we did this morning. Lord, we praise you for the safe arrival of Hudson Joseph, and we continue to pray for Jeff and Karen, who are both here this morning, Lord, for them as parents as they raise their child, their children. Lord, we praise you, our God. But Lord, we also come as your people and we pray for one another, Lord, for needs that are right here within us as a family, as a church family. Lord, we pray for Rose who, Lord, continues to recover. And Lord, we pray that you give her strength and you'd heal her, Lord. And we pray for her family that you'd be very close to them during this time as well. Give them courage. Lord, for Henry Murray and Colette Murray, Lord, we pray the same, that you'd continue to give them your strength. And Lord, that you'd grant healing where healing needs to occur. Lord, for Jan and George and Inga and Bianca. Lord, for Ken Kennedy and Jenny's brother Joe and Lori, we lift them all to you, and Lord, we pray that you know each of their needs and you know what's required, and Father, we pray that those needs would be met and that you'd grant, Lord, healing where healing needs to occur, and that you'd be with each of the family members, Lord, as they walk through situations where loved ones aren't just feeling 100%. Father, we think of those who are grieving, who are hurting now, and require your comfort. And we think of the Kennedy family, and we pray for Ken and Arlene, and Lord, we pray that today even they're feeling your peace and your comfort. Lord, it's so good to be here. It's so great to praise your name and pray to you. So God, we pray that to you be the glory and the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, you received this as you came through the door, I hope. The request. This isn't for you to read while I preach. I know. Sorry to take the fun out of your living, but it's for you to take home and read and make notes on and highlight. Actually, it's for you to just get information about the quest. That's what it's about, so I pray that you'll take that home. It's great to have the quest board here. Lori Moffat, among others. Good to see you here this morning. Isn't it? It's great. We're excited you're here. And all of you, you're here for a reason. You're here because you wanted to sing to God, and you're here because God nudged you, and you're here probably because of the title. How do I overcome anxiety? We're focusing on the questions that come up in our life and how do we work through things in our life. And in particular this morning, we're talking about overcoming anxiety. I can almost guarantee that all of us here have been anxious at one time or another. And you try to let go of it and you try to let God deal with it, but you just can't seem to do it. Well, this morning's for you. Have you ever asked yourself, have you ever wondered, why isn't God working? What's going on in my life? I'm praying and I'm believing, but it doesn't seem like God is doing anything. God, why aren't you working in my life? Maybe these are questions you've asked. There's a handful of reasons why you may feel that way. Anxiety is a notch or two above worry. but it feels like it's twin. It's the feeling you get when your mother-in-law goes over a cliff in your new Mercedes. Now, some of you may even be anxious right now about this message about anxiety, because you're wondering, what's he going to say? What's he going to do? How am I going to do it? I can't take away your anxious thoughts or feelings, but I hope I can point you properly to the one who can. And that by the end of our time together, you'll feel more at rest and more at peace than ever before. How do I overcome anxiety? I invite you to turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. So we're going to look at this chapter this morning, and we're going to look at various sections of it. I'm not going to read through the whole thing, because we are told to read through the Word of God, and so I hope you've read this passage. But I want you to turn to John 16 as we look, how do I overcome anxiety? Now Jesus is, he is sitting with his disciples, and they're having a chat among many times they've done that. And so he is telling them, he says this in verse 1. I want you to grab that verse 1 of chapter 16. All this, Jesus said, I've told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he's offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for you, your good, that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Goes on and describes what the counselor will do. But jump down to verse 13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. How do I overcome anxiety? First of all, you got to stop playing God. You see, God will remain on standby until you give the project to him. How many of you understand that? I mean, if you're trying to do God's job, in other words, if you're trying to be Holy Spirit Junior, you know, like if you're praying for God to change your kids, and then you're trying to change them all the time, God's just going to stand by, watch, wait till you're done messing around with them. And so you're frustrated, and you're struggling, because no matter what you're doing, it's not working, and then you wonder why God isn't working. Why isn't God working? God isn't working. He's not working because you are. It's like this, for instance. My mother, she used to say to me, she said, you know, Devin, you got to do some chores around the house. You got to sweep the kitchen, make sure it's clean. That's your job, you know. If my brother did it, I wasn't going to do it. You know, if he was busy sweeping the floor, and I'd stand by and I'd watch and I'd giggle because I'd think, I'm getting away. That's the Holy Spirit. He doesn't giggle. He stands by and he goes, wait a minute, why are you sweeping the floor? It's my job to look after it. See, the Bible says, cast your care on him, and he will care for you. There's a prerequisite to that, to God taking care of you in your situation. It's for you to cast your care on him. The Bible says, all your care, all your concern, once and for all, everything, cast it on him, because he cares for you. The bottom line is, either you're going to do it, or God's going to do it. But you both are not going to do it. Now, if you're like me, you grew up with those wonderful, wonderful words from your parents who continually says, God helps those who help themselves. My mother taught me that very early. I mean, came to clean my room. She'd say, Devin, God helps those who help themselves. You know, OK, came to do chores around the house, like vacuuming, dusting, that kind of thing. I mean, I'd moan and groan. I'd want, do I have to do this? God helps those who help themselves. See, but I learned something. I tried helping myself from my mom's purse one time. And she walked in just as I was pulling out a dollar bill. You remember those, a $1 bill? And I quickly found out that God doesn't necessarily help those who help themselves. You see, understand something? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that God will help those who help themselves. That's just something that somebody made up somewhere. Yet there are things you are to do, but you do what God tells you to do. You can't do what you want to and expect God to make it work. Oh, I think I'll do this. And then God, you look at it. He is the author. That means he puts it together. And he is the finisher. That means he completes it. He's not obligated to finish anything that he didn't author. We don't make the plans and then expect God to bless them. We wait on God to make his plan, and then in the strength of his spirit, we move ahead, because being a channel for him, we flow his blessing through it. It's him doing it, not us doing it. And if God doesn't do it, then it's not going to get done. Say that this morning with me. If God doesn't do it, then it's not going to get done. Woo! What happens when there's something we want and it doesn't look like it's going to happen? I don't know about you, but I start getting so anxious. Oh, for that thing to take place. And we kind of act strange when we're anxious. We want it so bad, we go wild. I mean, we just get kind of wild with it. We start manipulating and we start conniving. I think I can get this done this way if I start doing so-and-so. Trying to make it happen. Well, what should I do? Where do I put this? How do I? And trying to move things along faster than they're supposed to move. And I recognize that I don't like that feeling, because I live like that so much a part of my life that I'm not interested in living like that anymore, because I want peace. Say that. I want peace. Yeah. When I find myself doing that, getting anxious, everybody say, getting anxious. Everybody say, fretting. Everybody say, worried. Everybody say, Devin, you're great. No, just, I'm sorry, I got a little carried away. My son said something totally different, and I heard it. Anyway, no, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. When I feel myself getting anxious now, I first recognize that it's not the normal condition that God wants his people to be in. Did you know that? God does not want you to feel anxious anymore. He does not want you to be worried. He doesn't want you to be fretting. God wants you to live in peace. Anxious and upset. That's not normal for the believer. Did you know that? Believers are supposed to be in the rest of God, trying to do something that only God can do. It doesn't create rest for you. As soon as I feel myself becoming anxious, I just say, wait a minute. I cannot go down that road. I can't even start on my way. Because if this is God, then God will make it happen. So I say over and over and over, I say, God, I don't even want this if it's not from you. If it's not you, close that door, God. You need to pray that. God, you got to say, God, either open the door and let me walk through, or God, shut that door so tight that I can't even turn the knob. Because so often we go through doors that aren't really open to us. And we just walk right through. We say, okay, I'm going to do this. God just stands back and waits for you to come back. Because when God puts something together, it works right. And I found out that what God gives me, he maintains. God, if you don't want it, don't give it to me. This is what I would like. This is what I think should happen. This is what I think is right. I'm asking you, God, to open the door, but God, if it's not right, I don't want it. Shut the door so I know I can't go through there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Gotta find my way to make this happen. What can I do? What can I do? It's like a little demon sits on your right shoulder. What are you gonna do, Dev? What are you gonna do? I can't do anything. John 16, verse 7. Tell you the truth. It is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. I like the way the Amplified Bible takes that passage, and it says this: however, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, that is good, expedient, advantageous for you, that I go away. Because I do not go away, the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, and Standby will not come to you. Standby. I love that. Have you ever been on standby for something? Have you ever been on a list? Oh, we're going to put you on the list. Yes. They do that a lot for surgery, you know. Oh, we'll put you on the list. I often wonder where that list is. Who keeps the list? Who looks after the list? And what happens when you're on the list? You wait. Till when? Yeah. You're in church this morning, that's why you said that. Joyce is going, no. Stand by. Man, you just wait and you wait and you wait and you wait until that phone rings. Or until you get the letter saying, come on in. God, the Holy Spirit, stands by until you do the call. Maybe you think of a couple areas right now that you've just got a tight grip on, you need to let go of. The Holy Spirit will not interfere in our lives without an invitation, the Bible says. You have not because you ask not. I like what somebody said. You can tell the size of your God by looking at the size of your worry list. The longer your list, the smaller your God. How big is your God this morning? How small is your list? All the things that you're worried about. Listen. But when he, the Spirit of truth, verse 13, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to you. No. Wait a minute. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Hebrew term for glory descends from a root word meaning heavy, weighty, or important. God's glory is our priority. How do you reveal God's glory? Psalm 19 says, the heavens exist to declare the glory of God. Psalm 50 says, trust in me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. You see, if you can solve your struggle, if you can overcome your anxiety, if you can do this all on your own, who gets the credit? You do. And not only will you take the credit, we will then be trying to tell everybody else how to run their life because we think somehow we've got the answer for everybody. If you just do what I did, this is going to happen. We have to be careful about taking the credit for something that God is doing. What happens? We try to do things. We wear ourselves out trying, and we realize we can't do it, and then we finally come to this place where we just pray something like, oh, God, if anything's going to get done, you're going to have to do it. Hello? Like we're telling God something he doesn't already know. You ever found yourself praying, well, God, if anything's going to get done, well, I guess there's nothing I can do except pray. Should have done that in the first place. Isaiah also says these words are written, I have my reputation to keep up. God has one goal, God. Why does God require us to glory so much in him? I mean, doesn't that kind of sound like he's a little bit egotistical? You know, when you get get aboard a plane, typically the pilot will come on the address system and say, "This is your captain speaking. I'll be flying the plane as best I can." And when you get on a boat, you notice that there's this one guy wearing this neat peak cap and dressed with all these medallions and medals, and you know that he's the captain, because if that boat sinks, you want to make sure he's on it. You know? That's so everybody, if there was something that happened, you just know, you can go right to the captain. Did you see the way he's dressed? Because everybody's been talking about him. That's the captain. God wants everyone to know. And that only comes by us giving him the glory for what we have and what struggles we have overcome because of him taking care of them. We point to him when he looks after it. I'm only here because of God. Amen? How do I overcome anxiety? Stop trying to do God's job. And secondly, start inviting God to take care of you. Care of me. If you look at verse 33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." I mean, in our passage today, John 16, the disciples, they have walked through some deeply confusing, somewhat startling times with the Savior. They really can't make sense of anything that's happening. And you know, verse 16 there, I mean, he says, "In a little while you'll see me no more, and then after a little while you'll see me." Well, that makes sense, you know. No, they start getting confused, and they wonder, what's he talking about? Look at verse 17, some of the disciples, they started saying to one another, "And what does he mean by saying, in a little while you'll see me more, and in a little while you won't see me?" I don't think that's how he phrased it, John. "Are you sure?" "I don't know, James." I mean, Jesus is right there. "What did you mean by that?" No, what do you think he means? And they start frustration, and they're just completely confused by it all. They can't make sense of it. But they didn't ask Christ, who's sitting right there. Don't be hard on them, because you do it all the time. "I don't understand why God wants me to this. What do you think God wants from me? Hey, come on over here, Jeremy. What do you think God wants me to do? Nathan, my son, my beautiful son, you know how much I care for you. What do you think God wants from me?" Instead of asking the one who's asking me, who's telling me. You know, deep down, you know in your heart something that you believe God really spoke to you about, that he wants you to do in your life, and God maybe really did speak it to you, but if you're trying to make it happen when it's not the right time, it just won't work out for you. You see, our desire, what we should be doing, is we should be so in tune with God that we should be asking him, "You know, God, you asked me to do this. You told me to go in this time frame. Where are you in this, God?" Not go around and ask everyone else. You see, we only get a hold of that when we start inviting God to take care of the situation in his perfect time and will. See, not only do we need to know God's will, we need to know his timing for things. Often I learn about God's timing. I always thought that God will make his will known. When he does that, it just happens like that, right away. You know what you read in the Bible, soon, you know, you think that's right away. "Soon and very soon, we are going to see the king." Was that tomorrow or this afternoon? But I realized, as a little guy, grade 4, you're my psychiatrist right now. I'm laying on the couch and I'm going to tell you about my grade 4 experience. Being required to take swimming lessons. My parents signed me up. There's no bitterness here, believe me. They were thinking it would be such a good idea for me to take lessons during school time. It's okay. You know, I was so upset about this. I couldn't even sleep. I'd be laying in. When is this going to happen? Oh. My brother in the same room with me, 6 years older, very wise. I asked him, I said, "Hey, Darcy, to take swimming lessons in school." And he calmed my fears by doing this. "Oh, really? I feel so bad for you. Deb, you're so small. I hope you make it through." The first day you have to go into 122 feet of water over your head with no one helping you, but don't worry. I'm sure you'll make it. I mean, he's such a comfort for me. My mom would come, I'll pray that God will look after you. Yeah. So it triggered me a thought, actually. I can talk to God about this, and so because he'll look after it. So then I remembered, you know, talking to God, he sorts everything out. And so, God, I don't know how to swim, and I don't really want to make sense of that. So I'm asking if you could either burn down the school, the YMCA, or prevent the school bus from actually picking us up. And I mean, I really did pray that. And then I would come to my mom and I'd say, Mom, it was anticipation. Mom, when are these swimming lessons supposed to start? My mom would say, soon. And I'd think, oh, that's the next day. But it never was. And days would go by, days would go by. And then I'd ask my teacher, trying to sound somewhat enthusiastic, when do them their swimming things start? And she'd give me more information than my mother. She'd say, very soon. Now, it's interesting that we become desperate when we want something, when we want it now, and we despise something, we want it over now. Isn't that interesting? When we want something desperately, we want it now. When we despise something, we want it over now. And so when you hear from God and he says, soon you will get, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen tomorrow. This large bus pulled up, arrived, and those signed up would hop on board. I have to tell you, I struggled so much getting on that bus. But when they pried my knuckles away, I lay awake and I was tossing and turning. I was so anxious about this. And how can my parents sell me out to the YMCA for such rigorous training in swimming? I mean, please understand, to me, swimming was something you watched on Wild World of Sports. Anybody know what that show was? Wild World of Sports? Yes, some of you are so afraid to put your hand up. But first day went great, though. We got to hop into the pool and just blow bubbles. This was great. And I think it's because I stalled in the shower. I took my time putting my swim trunks on. And so I go in the water, and the instructor said, just blow bubbles. That was great. I could do that. I was feeling so good, so calm, so confident. The second day was a little bit further. Instructor said, now you're going to go a little step further today. I want you to put your head under the water and get your hair wet at the very top of your head. And I thought, you know, this is easy. I can put my head under water. And I felt it enveloped my hair completely, covering the top of my head. But you know, I discovered two wonderful truths that day. You can't breathe underwater. And you must bring your head back up out of the water. Now, I know you find it hard to believe, but I have experience in this area, so I know. As I was struggling to breathe and keep my head under the water, my lungs very quickly filled with water. I came up spitting, spewing water all the time, well, gasping for air. I was just like, ball all over the place. Truth be told, I believe I could be placed in the Guinness Book of World Records as the only person to receive a swimming certificate in grade 4 by watching from the sidelines fully clothed the rest of the time. I wonder how many of us become so anxious that we actually drown ourselves each day because we try to do the job that God is so very capable to do. We fight, we struggle so much. Struggle over things, we waste more energy worrying than simply doing what needs to be done and inviting God to look after it. You understand that? People cannot prevent God from doing what he needs to do in your life when you invite him to. And God is just waiting for us to invite him to look after what our greatest struggle, what our greatest frustration, what our greatest worry is. And we pace the floor and we have panic attacks. If any of you have, do you know what I mean? Panic attacks, what a wonderful experience. You just get this increasing pain and you just panic and you truly believe like Fred Sanford of Sanford and Son. How many of you know TV show from Sanford? Great, you're right, yeah. Fred Sanford, he'd get into panic attacks and he'd say, it's okay, Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. Panic attack. You don't die, you just wish you would, you know. That's how anxiety can overpower you. You've got to overcome anxiety by letting God take care of you and stop trying to fix yourself and everybody else and absorbing every problem, every waking hour, over and over and over in your mind. Take every thought captive. Start inviting God to take care of you, and it's only then that we enter the rest of God, when you say, just enter into me, and God, just give me the peace that I need, and I hand over to you what needs to be done, the stuff in my life that I'm perplexed about, that I'm confused about, and I trust you, God, I trust you completely to give me the peace that I require, and when it's all done, and when it's all finished, I'm going to give you the glory, God. You're going to get the glory. Not about me, it's all about you. And you trust him to get you through. You don't care how long it takes, because you know that you're in good hands that are nail-scarred because of you. And there's no more wonderful place to be. You're no longer paralyzed by anxiety, rather you've overcome it. And the glory fittingly belongs to the one who's defeated it. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And this morning, you may be just sitting here thinking, oh, I can't handle the burden anymore. Oh, I'm so anxious. I'm anxious about what I have to walk through. I'm anxious about what I am walking through and shouldn't be. We need to say this morning, God, open the doors that I need to walk through and close the ones that I shouldn't be going into. Maybe you need to say today, God, I let my anxiety go, and Lord, I don't know how you're going to handle it, but I'm going to trust you with it. Finally, I'm going to call you away from standby and allow you to look after my hurt, allow you to look after my past, allow you to look after my pain, allow you to look after the things that are taking my very eyes off of you. God, I need you. Cry out to him this morning. Maybe it's you need to hand over your children. Maybe it's you need to hand over your spouse. Maybe it's you need to hand over your ministry. Maybe it's you need to hand over you. Talk to him. Promise him that when it's all said and done, even today, you will give the glory fittingly to him. Talk to him. In the silence this morning, hear his whisper. Father, this morning, we know that we walk through anxiety over things that crowd into our life. Father, we allow ourselves to be so consumed with our anxiety that sometimes we don't even see that you're there. Lord, sometimes we have let go of your hand, and while you're standing right there beside us, sometimes it's hard for us to even lift our hand and take yours. Lord, this morning it's my prayer that we'd all reach up and take your hand. That we would take your hand, God, over the thing that's causing us confusion, over the thing that's hurting us, perplexing us, causing strife. God, we take your hand. As a church this morning, we take your hand. and walk us through, God. Walk us through whatever it is that's hurting us, whatever it is that's making us anxious, whatever it is that we're struggling through. God, we can't get through it without you. We take your hand, your mighty hand, and we trust you. And Lord, through it all, in what we say and in what we do, to you be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.